Sorry, I hang out with Tim Dang too much, so, you know. Brother, it's actually, I really like it. So, thank you, Tim, for introducing me to my favorite, expression. Just, what are you doing? Do you realize? It's not just harmless. That's what we think. But you are discounting who God is. God is truth. When you practice falsehood, lies, you're going against who God is. He made the world to express Him. You just made the world not express God. Evil deeds. All right, I wasn't going to talk too much about this. But so those are two more examples I thought of. Why is it important that we know what we're saved from? It's because our iniquities and sins separate us from God. And this is your experience before you knew the Lord. It's totally true. You're separated from God. You have a chasm between you and God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You can call out to God, and he won't hear. You can look for him, and he's nowhere to be found. Why do so many people in the world, you ask them, is there a God? And they just say, no. Why? Because there's a separation. Even God has removed his face, hidden his face from those with iniquity. Praise the Lord. If you are saved, then that's good. Well, you know, you have that, you're dead, you're made alive. This is very related. There's the blood of Christ, we'll talk about that. But this is important because this is not just the experience of an unbeliever. But even as a believer, because your whole life is walking in trespasses and sins before you met the Lord, you just have habits and you go back to them. And there's a separation that occurs. You heard the voice of the Lord and you ran out of that grave. And you know what happens? You slowly walk your way back in. Often, we don't notice it when it's subtle, when it's slow, when it's little by little. If you are walking around a pond and you take a step into a big mud pile, you notice it. You go, oh my goodness, I got mud. I gotta go wash. But if you just walk around all day, you don't notice the dirt that builds up. You don't notice that somehow over time you became dirty. There's something on you that starts to separate you from God. And man, I really hope, I always try not to make people feel heavy, but I feel like that's my talent, making people feel heavy. all right, let me try. Hey, we are alive. Okay, we'll start with that. We are alive from the dead. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, you're alive. You can have a walk with God. You can know who he is. He calls us his friends. And he says, a friend knows what his friend is doing. God wants to tell us what he's doing in this world, what his plans are. He has a creation, a masterpiece created, waiting. He's unfolding this marvelous plan, and we have a part in it. So just have a part in it. Talk to the Lord. Know the Lord. We can know, we, human beings, temporary, fleshly, mites of existence, can know the eternal God. And he delights to show us everything that's in his heart. And if, wow, you should take advantage of that. Especially when you're in college. You have so much time. You have so much, like, things going on to, like, interest you, to spark your thoughts, to think about new things. You know, like, once you start working, you know, you talk to someone, they go like, how was your week? Same as every week. But in college, you have all these things you just experience, and then, like, you can think about the Lord. Wow, that's really good. So, like, you gotta get to know the Lord. Once you're saved, just, like, walk with the Lord. Have a relationship with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Read his word. Talk to him. You should have, like, many private moments that you're like, ooh, that was so, like, so unique, so special. I have a verse that just fit right in my day. That was just for me. God prepared it just for me. It was a brother who was telling a story how he was laying in the college campus, you know, laying in the grass, and for a moment, the clouds, like, he had just become a Christian recently, starting to love the Lord, and the clouds kind of, the sun went behind the clouds in a certain way, and it just, like, looked like an angel. And he thought, genuinely thought for, like, a split second, oh my goodness, the Lord is coming back, like, like, the Lord is coming back. And then, you know, in a way, he was joking, because he was telling the story, like, 40 years later, saying, like, the Lord did not come back. It was just the clouds. But, wow, God prepared all the weather patterns in, I think it was in Ohio, for maybe, like, thousands of years. God had a thought, you know, this young man's going to lay in the grass one day, and the clouds are just going to be just right, and the humidity's just going to be just right, and the sun's going to be shining just right, and the temperature will be just right for him to stay there long enough to see the clouds kind of look like an angel. And he'll say, whoa, maybe the Lord's returning. Wow, what a experience. We should have experiences like that. So why am I bringing this up? Because when you have sins and iniquities, you're separated from the Lord. But if you're never spending time with the Lord, you won't even notice. If you spend every day touching the Lord, you open your Bible, and you expect to spend time with the Lord in his presence, then, like, whoa, when you sin and the Lord is far away, you notice it. It's like, I read the Bible today, nothing happened. Okay, maybe it's one off day. I read the Bible the next day. Where's the Lord? Huh, something's wrong. But if you don't spend time with the Lord, maybe it's like every 3 Lord's days, I somewhat touch the Lord. You might go like 3 months before you realize, I might have sin. There might be a separation. Okay, what is the point? The point is this, we're saved. Amen. We're saved. There's a salvation that God has already done that takes care of this problem. If you're not saved, there's wrath. If you are saved, you should remember, there was wrath. Okay, we're saved. There's redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses and sins. Part of this full salvation is like God sent his son, Jesus. And that man, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and shed his blood. It came out of his body for us. And in him, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And in Colossians it says, in whom we have redemption the forgiveness of sins. Everything that we talked about that we walk in, all those unintentional and intentional, and you didn't even want to do it, but somehow you ended up doing it, all those things are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We're justified, made right in God's eyes as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. The righteousness of God is shown. This blood. In that blood, we have forgiveness. In that blood, we have redemption. In that blood, we have our justification before God. It's done. The salvation that we have received says this: it is finished. When we were just walking in our sins and trespasses, we can have faith, and that's cleaned. And then when we go back to our trespasses and sins as believers, and our fellowship with God is marred, do you know what? It's still that same blood that cleanses you. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There was a man who was paralyzed, and his friends wanted this man to see Jesus. They heard that he could heal. He was casting out demons. He was healing the sick. They said, maybe this man can help our friend. So they picked up their friend in a bed. They had four friends. I don't know how a paralytic had four friends. Must show that he was not paralytic his whole life. So maybe it was like an accident. I don't know. That's just my thinking. They had four friends. They brought him to the house where Jesus was, and they couldn't get in. There was a crowd. And these people in the crowd were not very nice. They did not let this paralytic man through. They said, "No, I'm trying to see Jesus. You gotta wait in line, just like the rest of us." But these friends, like any good friend should do, climbed on the roof, dug a hole in the roof of the house that Jesus was living in, and like, "Oh, this will definitely get him to like us, you know, maybe he'll do what we want." I don't know. And they lowered the paralytic in front of Jesus. And then there's this verse. Jesus looks at them, looks at the man, and he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And maybe, I just imagine the friends thinking, you know, that's not what we came for, but that's really what we came for. Having a realization, oh my goodness, my sins paralyze me. I'm paralyzed, and I only see the problem as a paralysis, but Jesus sees the real problem is my sin. It paralyzes me. I can't walk before God. I can't live before God. And he's cleansed. Acts 15:9 says, "He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith." Whoa. Your heart can be cleansed by faith. It's not just something that happens in court of law before God. You know, just trust it. It happened. But we have a real experience of the cleansing of the blood of Christ. We have a real experience of the weight of sin and guilt and shame being lifted off. You can really say, "I am clean before God." And this verse, maybe like the key verse for believers, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What cleanses us is faith. What cleanses us is the blood of Christ. that before God. He looks at it and he says, forgiven. You know what doesn't cleanse us? Feeling guilty. Do you know what doesn't cleanse us? Hating sin more. Have you had that experience? You sin, and then you're like, oh my goodness, I hate sin more. I mean, on one side, that's really good. But on the other side, that doesn't cleanse you. What cleanses you is the blood. And that blood was already shed. You just go back to it. You confess your sins and say, Lord, you have to be faithful to your promise. You have to be righteous to uphold your promise, which says, in the blood of Christ, my sins are forgiven. I think our experience as Christians is we ran out of that grave, and then a lot of things happened to us. We built up some dirt. We built up, some chains. And then we come up with really funny ways to, like, go back to God. We come up with these things, like, Lord, I was really bad. And I know what will fix it. If I read my Bible an extra 3 chapters every day, then maybe I can be with you like I was before. Or I say, like, Lord, my week was so far from you, and now I'm going to the Sunday morning meeting. I'm so ashamed. How can I open my mouth to pray? But the solution to both of these is realizing that we have a salvation that's full. The blood cleanses. And the Lord only had to die once. It's an eternal blood, an eternal cleansing. There's a great verse in Hebrews that I didn't put on here. He only had to die once, and it was done. All we have to do is remember, Lord, it's your blood. It's not my doing, it's your blood. It's not my feeling bad about my sin. No. You don't need to waste your time feeling bad about your sin. Just tell the Lord, I committed sin. I'm sorry. I take your blood. Be forgiven. Your hearts can be cleansed. This is the way we can have a walk before the Lord. Even just in a way that's so freeing. So freeing from the silly things we build up. Oh, wow. It's such a good salvation. Such a full salvation. When it comes to the Lord's table meeting, you know, I brought that up, like, do you know what it takes to open your mouth and praise the Lord? It takes the cleansing of the blood. And once you've had that once, any time, any moment, at any moment, you should be able to praise the Lord. Because it only takes like a millisecond of faith. I don't know. Faith doesn't take time. I don't know. Just, Lord, faith, your blood, I can praise you. I don't have to go through a ritual. I don't have to feel bad. I don't have to work my way back up to where I was in my Bible reading, in my serving, in my own feeling of how my Christian life is going. It's just the blood. If we can realize the power in the blood, then, wow, we'll have a real full salvation. This is David's experience. Psalm 32. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I really like it. He was groaning all day. He had his sin, and he had consciousness of it, and he was groaning because of it all day long, but that did not help. He was groaning, "Oh, I'm so bad. I'm so bad. I'm so sorry." But that didn't help. That just wasted his body away. Helpless, no strength to get up before God. But verse 5, wow, "I acknowledge my sin to you. In my iniquity, I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Amen. And you forgave the guilt of my sin." Amen. This is David's experience. This is my experience. And I hope this can be all of our experiences. When we turn to the Lord, when we just say, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," we just experience the cleansing, the forgiving, the washing that comes through the blood of Christ. Amen. And okay, so this is like almost very similar. I want to have some application, but I think the application is actually like, just confess your sin. Just confess your sin. It should be a regular thing in your life. You don't have to like set it in your calendar, but just regularly think, "Lord, is there any sin I should confess?" And then if the Lord brings anything up, then you confess it, and then you're done. It doesn't have to be like long, drawn out. You're on your knees weeping. Sometimes it may be that. But just in your daily life, you can think, you know, you're walking to class, and you just, instead of listening to Taylor Swift, "Lord, do I have any sin?" And then maybe the Lord will say, "No, you're good. You should have that experience too." Once you confess, then it's gone. You don't have to always have a big list. Just have a short list. The Lord says, "This, this, this." And you go, "Oh, yeah, I said that. You're right, Lord. Sorry, I said that. I thought that. Ooh, you're right. Sorry, I thought that. I don't know. I did that. Ooh, Lord, sorry. You're right. I did that." You acknowledge your guilt before the Lord. But his blood cleanses you. And when you do that, what you will experience the closeness with God. The ability to just come into the presence of the Father. Have the life of the Lord kind of rise up within you. And then this finishes the paralytic story. After his sins were forgiven, the Lord said, "Get up and walk." It's not before, it's after. Once that guilt, once that shame, the weight was gone, he could get up and walk. Don't think, "I need to get up and walk so that my sin is forgiven." That's the wrong way. The Lord just looks at him and says, "Your son, your sins are forgiven." This is like the same verse Rex had. "Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments to righteousness, of righteousness to God. Before you walked, just like in trespasses and sins," what you just did then. And now you actually have the option. You can do righteousness. You can present yourselves to God. And he'll say like, "Hey, call a sister. Hey, call a brother. Hey, pick up that spill, even though you weren't the one who did it. Take the trash out, even though it's the neighbor's." You know, like if you see a trash bag lying outside and it's got a hole in it because the raccoons are eating, you know, got it in it, and you're like, "Wow, that's so dirty. Sucks for whoever that is." Like, you can just do it. Like, present your members to God as instruments for righteousness. We can have a new life full of walking in a different way, in a different realm, open to God and open to like the realm of his love. That's the wrong way. And then the last one, we're not going to read all these verses, but Jesus says here, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And Jesus paints a very clear picture. When you are forgiven, you love. And who do you love? You love the Lord. Oh, and sometimes in a conference you pray, "Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, I want to love you more." Hey, you know one good way of loving the Lord more? Realizing he's forgiven your sin. Whoa, I was that bad and you still saved me. I had that sin and I was cleansed. And when you experience that, just the love for the Lord will grow. When you say, "Lord, I did this. I don't know. Can you forgive this one? I don't know. That, the other one, I kind of believe that. But how about this one, Lord? But I confess, I did it. Can your blood wash me?" Whoa. That opens up in our heart avenues for the love of the Lord to grow, to increase, to be poured out. And what a better life than walking in trespasses and sins. Just living alive to God, presenting our members to righteousness. When we sin, and you just confess it and you're washed clean. And then your love for the Lord can just grow. "Lord, I just love you. You forgave me. I just love you. You wiped it clean. Wow, Lord, I'm so thankful. You're so good. Your blood is so powerful." Amen. That's the end. We're saved. We're saved from our trespasses and sins. Not just that one time and you have to live a Christian life, you know, correctly to keep it. But that salvation is available, applicable, powerful, again and again and again. Amen.